Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do?
Good, y'all. I am Josh So Focused.
I'm French the Bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 61.
This is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
And make sure you following us on our Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you go and check us out at our website.
And if you love what you hear, oh, my fault. I just cut you all the way off. If you like the website, it's knickstake.com.
Thank you. You can continue now, sir.
All right. So if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on our platform that you're watching us on, listening to us on. Click the thumbs up button, notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. And most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans that you know in your life, because they're going to rock with us. We're going to bring them all the information that they need for the Knicks season coming up, and, you know, we're going to keep you in tune and locked in.
5 stars on iTunes.
You feel me?
All right. This episode today, we're going to go over the same thing we go over every week, Pinky. All of the past week's Knicks games and all of, well, you know, I'm the brain, so. Anyway, we go over.
I'm too young for these references. I don't know.
We're going to go over last week's games. Last week, the Knicks played the New Orleans Pelicans, mm-hmm. which occurred right after we recorded last week. They played the Cleveland Cavaliers in a back-to-back home-and-home. And then they played last night, for us, the Milwaukee Bucks. We're also going to go over the upcoming games against the Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs. And our next topic of the week, we're going to go over one Julius Randle.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep it general like that. It's early, but some things we need to discuss. So
let's start off with that Pelicans game.
Do we have to, though?
I don't really want to, but we got to. It's the first game of the week.
So, yeah, I was a little worried last week about the New Orleans Pelicans,
mm-hmm.
if you recall. I was like, second game of back-to-back. They looked a little tired.
On the road.
They went from Atlanta, then they went to New Orleans. And I was like, okay, maybe it's not going to be so bad. Maybe they'll get that energy back. And they did not. The Knicks offense was very sluggish to start. They bricked some shots, went 7 for 37 from three, which is less than 20%. And for those of you who are wondering, no, less than 20% is not good in any percentage when it comes to field goals, threes, or free throws. Only had 19 assists, 18 turnovers, 8 of which came from one Julius Randle. Like we said, we're going to talk more about Julius later. It was definitely a bad Juju game. Active detriment in the first half, played a little better in the second half. Looked like he wanted to try and shake off some of the bad Juju, but finished the game 26.7% from the field and 0 3-pointers out of the five that he took went in.
Yeah. And Zion was making him look like a child the whole game.
I made a comment saying this is the kind of game that makes you wonder, like, maybe we should make a trade. Like, if we could, I would give up Julius Randle for Zion. Like, that's that type of game where it's like, yeah, Zion hasn't played probably not even a full 2 seasons worth of NBA games, but he just outmanned and outpowered Julius Randle. Although Julius did, to his credit, he did have 12 rebounds. But the stars of this game to me were RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson. Once again, they've been our two best players up to that point for the entire season. Just had overall good games. They played in a game where nobody else really played well. I could go more into depth on that, but I would just say just throw this game out. Like, you don't even got to go really watch it. Like, it was an ugly game from start to finish. Zion bullied Julius for most of the game. Julius was, like I said earlier, he had 8 turnovers. And one of them were really especially bad, where he just made a really bad pass. They intercepted that pass.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically still by their rim you know, he was the closest defender to, you know, to stop anything on a, as far as a fast break goes, as far, you know, that he caused.
Mm-hmm.
He caused this fast break by the Pelicans with his bad pass turnover. And all he had to do was stop anybody from coming to the rim. And instead, he kind of just hung out at the top of the key while Zion Williamson soared past him for an alley-oop. Was it an alley-oop or was it just a regular dunk? But either way,
was
it was
demoralized. I can't even tell you.
I watched that play, and I my soul turned its eyes off after Julius Randle committed that. So that's why I don't really remember so much about it. But it was, it's bad enough that you caused the turnover. To just completely give up on the defensive end is just inexcusable. And let's go on to the next one. Like,
hold on before we go to the next one.
Okay.
Do you not feel like you owe the fans an apology?
Nope. Okay. Why do I owe the fans an apology?
You don't take any blame for this game or the Knicks coming into Smoothie King Arena?
The Smoothie King Center?
Name the whole episode the Smoothie King Center just for us to get mollywopped when we get in there.
I mean,
you know they have some added motivation. You know NBA players be watching even the low-key, not YouTubers, but podcasters whenever we talk crazy. So yeah, I'm throwing you under the bus for that one. I appreciate watching the Knicks lose like that.
I think the New Orleans Pelicans know that the name of their arena is trash. So there's nothing to apologize for. I'm just being honest. We can't blame it on that. We saw how tired the Knicks looked against the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, if a couple of the Knicks decided, you know, once they landed in New Orleans, that they was going to go over and party a little bit and get a little drink, because you know that's what they do over there in New Orleans.
Yeah, they got some good food out there, too.
Yeah. You could kind of predict this, and even though I was hoping against hope, which is why I kind of called this a win for the Knicks, I was very worried last week about it, because they looked tired against Atlanta, and it was a back-to-back. It just spelled all kind of bad for the Knicks. So,
man, shout out to Smoothie King. Now on to the next game.
All right.
The Knicks, still on the road, go into Cleveland to face off against the Cavaliers. This is their first time meeting since the first round of the playoffs last year. A lot of the Cleveland players was talking kind of crazy, talking about they had some added motivation for this game. They want to get their lick back against us.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan Thompson talking about how he shouldn't be compared to Josh Hart. That's like comparing a sirloin steak to a filet.
I don't get that reference, but okay, if you say so.
Yeah,
they both steak.
I'm not a steak person, so like, I don't know. He must have been hungry or something, but Evan Mobley was talking about trying to step up for this game. There was no Jared Allen for this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this game was nationally televised on TNT, so the whole world's watching. I guess they had something to prove. They on their home court.
No Darius Garland, no Jared Allen, no Jerome Tai, no Caris LeVert.
Right. But at the end of the day, this game just pretty much resembled to what we saw in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Knicks ran it up on the Cavaliers at home. There was no real answer for Mitchell Robinson. There was no answer for Isaiah Hartenstein. We had some great play from our centers. Jalen Brunson was looking like the Jalen Brunson of old. He's had a few slow starts to this, not to the season, but there's a few games where he just didn't really finish those bunnies that he was known for making all last season. But this game, he seems to be a little bit more in his rhythm. Quickly came off the bench and was firing off on them in the second half. And it was a close game. It was nip and tuck for the first half pretty much. But once the third quarter came out, Knicks scored 28 points to the Cavaliers 16, and the game was pretty much over from that point. It was pretty much a blowout in Cleveland. Tristan Thompson, after talking all that mess before the game, finishes the game with just 2 rebounds. Josh Hart finished with 7 rebounds. And if I really wanted to be crazy and mean to Tristan Thompson, I would name all the players who out-rebounded him. I don't know why he compared himself to steak, but if you really want to talk about it, he got out-rebounded by our point guard, Jalen Brunson, who had 5 rebounds. Mitch had 7. Randle had 10. Who else? Josh Hart, I said 7. Hartenstein had 7. Like, we, how many players? Dante DiVincenzo had 2. Quickly had 3. Like, come on. He needs to just shut up forever. He should have been retired a few seasons ago, but let me not get too crazy because I don't want him coming at us any type of way.
After you just tried to tell me, oh, we probably shouldn't be talking so much trash because they look at, they listen to all of these podcasts and now you want to go and...
Tristan Thompson don't put no fear in my heart. Built like Jell-O.
I did want to point out that the Knicks defense really showed out in this game. Mm-hmm. They held the Cavs without a field goal for over 5 minutes in the third quarter, which I believed was the key stretch of the game. It was really what put the Knicks, gave them the momentum, gave them the they're gonna win this game feeling. And then once that streak ended with a Donovan Mitchell 3, right after that, Jalen Brunson came back with a tough turnaround fade right in, it's just sweat right in his Paul's mouth.
Whoa.
but you know, he got it right in his eye. And you know, that's the, like after that, I was like, oh, the Knicks can't lose this game. Like, they really can't. Like, we're playing really well. They did make it a game at the end, but once again, the Knicks defense really, you have to give the Knicks defense a lot of credit for holding the Cavs to, low scoring numbers and executing the way that they needed to. I still felt like at the end of that game, they needed to polish up some things. I felt like Randle still didn't look right. Again, we're going to talk about Randle later. Josh Hart still didn't look right to me. But JB showed the flashes that we know that he has, that he's mm-hmm. capable of, the same things that he showed in the playoffs. Even though this was a game against a team with missing a lot of key players,
mm-hmm.
Knicks did what they were supposed to do. I felt like I've been feeling like Tibbs has been a little wonky with his rotations, with the way that he's putting the players in and not really playing the players who play the best mm-hmm. more. I've been feeling a couple times like RJ Barrett should have more minutes than Julius Randle, and considering that we don't have a backup power forward, you would think it would be easy since either him or Josh Hart should be the backup power forward. So it really doesn't make sense to me that he is not equaling or eclipsing Julius Randle's minutes, but we'll talk about that, about Randle specifically. If you want to say something about RJ though, you can go ahead.
No, I was going to say something about Tibbs. Like, I feel like this is a coaching strategy just to get his guys going because he knows he's going to rely on Julius Randle a lot this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't had a great start to this season at all. He's having one of the worst starts to his season. Well, the worst start of any basketball player in NBA history.
Tibbs.
He's just trying to get his guy going, and he knows that we're going to need Randle this season, so I don't think he feels like he needs to rely on RJ because RJ seemed like he got it going and he's in a groove and he's ready to go whenever he could call on him. But we're going to need a much better Julius Randle this season than what we've been seeing so far. Last episode I was saying how I thought he was going to be playing the Draymond role. Jesus Christ, I got to stop talking about Julius Randle in a positive light because he just comes out and starts stinking it up afterwards. But like on Tibbs, I don't really have a problem with his rotation because I see like sometimes when he does keep someone in longer than he should when they're having a bad night and they can finally make up for how they're playing and have a strong impact on the game. So the dynamic of someone's game could change in the blink of an eye. Like, and we're going to talk about that later. We've seen it in a game that we're going to speak about soon. But
my quick response to that is...
Talk to me.
I agree with you, but that also has the adverse effect of somebody getting less minutes,
mm-hmm.
and now they can't get going. And on a team where you have so many guys who are going to be looking for minutes, who are all good, and we are very good, our rotation, just our play, like, we got 10 guys who could be in the rotation, but our main rotation of 9 guys, you don't have enough minutes for all of these guys to play the minutes that they're used to playing or should be used to playing. And some of the younger guys don't get that. I'm just going to say some of the younger guys don't get that, don't ever get that kind of credit the way that Randall's getting. You know, you got guys who, they make a mistake, Tibbs pulls them out. He doesn't give them that lenience of, we're going to need you. But even though we need every single player on this team, we need Quentin Grimes to be shooting better. He needs to get more minutes so that he can find that rhythm. We need Quickly to be shooting. We need all of these guys to play well, not just Randall. Yes, Randall is going to be very, very key. But now we're at a place where this team needs to just play well. And if you're not playing well, your minutes need to go down. All of that catering-ish that we were doing, that we've been doing, this is not the season for that anymore. So I agree. That's why he does it. I agree that there is a positive effect to that. But this is not the season for it anymore. Like, Randall should be over whatever ill feelings that he had before, and he should understand that the goal is winning.
Yeah.
Just like every other member of this team. So are we done with the
Cleveland mollywop?
The Cleveland mollywop, the good one.
Yeah, the good Cleveland game. Yeah,
because
we can move on to the one.
To the bad one. Why did I get all of the bad games this week? How did that work out? How did I get the nope game?
Because you chose Smoothie King Center last week, so now you get to that's the applesauce that you got to drink today.
I mean, this was in the Garden, so why did we lose this one? It wasn't because of that, right?
Well.
So let's just get started.
Yeah.
Knicks versus Cleveland. The second night of a back-to-back against the same team, this time at home in Madison Square Garden. Everybody knows that it's very hard to win both games of a back-to-back, especially if it's against the same team.
And we didn't have RJ this game.
Well, I was going to get there, but yes. It's very hard to win. And it's even more difficult to win when you're missing one of your top three players, which RJ Barrett this season is 100% one of our three best players between Jalen Brunson, him, and Mitchell Robinson right now. Should be Julius Randle in there, but we can talk about that later. What's up?
I was just going to say, remember, I don't know, was it last week episode where I was talking about RJ coming down on his knee?
Yeah.
Rubbing down, and then I started to worry a little bit, and then now we see...
I mean, that was the first game against the Boston Celtics. I believe Derek White is the player who defended him when he made that dunk.
Yeah, I don't remember who was defending him, but I just remember he was limping up the court, and I just was worried. And now we see he got to miss a game because of it.
Yeah, well, sometimes them is the breaks. Sometimes you get hurt, and it goes on a little longer than you are expecting. And yeah, it's early in the season. This is probably the best time for RJ Barrett to kind of rest for a few games, so that's why he's out. This was a very defensive game where the Knicks actually took command in the first half. So you watch this game and you're like, oh, we got it. We can get over the hump right here. Beating Cleveland two games in a row, take command of the season series, which down the line can be very important when it comes to seeding. Down the line, if at the end of the season it comes down to a one game between Cleveland and the Knicks have two games over Cleveland already, it's going to be that much easier for them down the line. But very defensive game. Mitchell Robinson once again showed up, had 10 rebounds by halftime. But despite that, the Knicks once again struggled offensively. Randall, 6 points, finished with 6 points. It wasn't even like the first half. 6 points, 3 for 15 shooting. Brunson had 24 points on 23 shots.
Randall also played 35 minutes and finished with 6 points. That's disgusting. 0 for 6 from three.
Mm-hmm. Only Emmanuel Quickly and Dante DiVincenzo could really get the scoring going in an efficient manner. Mm-hmm. Cleveland took over in the third quarter, after the Knicks kind of started off hot, came out of halftime, Cleveland came into the game and really bum-rushed the Knicks, 22-13 in the third quarter. And that's like the points for the full quarter. The Knicks only scored 13 points in the third. And the fourth quarter was an exciting one. Knicks did what they usually did. You know, last season we used to see them, okay, I know they got one more pushing them in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. They'll lock down defensively, hold them scoreless for however many minutes. This time the Knicks held Cleveland to no field goals from 7 minutes and 37 seconds left in the fourth all the way until 2 minutes and 36 seconds left in the fourth. So that's what, 4 or 5 minutes of no field goals for the Cleveland Cavaliers. They didn't score a single point in that. And the Knicks closed the gap to within two. Mm-hmm. But they couldn't get over that hump. Donovan Mitchell.
Came alive.
And the Knicks lost 95 to 89 in a low-scoring game, because mostly every game, there's at least one 100-point score. But usually it's both teams score 100 or more. Very low-scoring game. Probably the game that has the Knicks listed as, if not the top defensive team in the league, in the top two or three. Mm-hmm. I thought this was a prime opportunity for the Knicks to get over 500, and I feel like they squandered it. They had an opportunity to take this game, and some of the key players just couldn't show up. We have a very big problem with guys not showing up the way that they regularly showed up last season, and yeah, this was just a good opportunity for them to not just get over 500, but to have an advantage over one of the teams that we expect to be seated somewhere around at the end of the season. Brunson drew 4 charges. Mitchell Robinson finished with 16 rebounds, 2 blocks. Manuel Quickly had 18 points. When you say those three things, this is the type of game that the Knicks should win. This is the type of game that the Knicks usually do win. Mm-hmm. When you have Mitch playing the way that he's doing, he's rebounding the ball, 8 rebounds offensive, 8 rebounds defensive for the 16, 2 blocks. You got Brunson. He's not as efficient, but he's doing what he has to do on the defensive end and drawing those charges and causing a turnover. You gotta win this game. You have to.
Yeah, but the Knicks only hitting 5 threes for an entire game. That's the one outlier that is like, okay, I understand how they can lose.
Yeah.
It's a close game. The Knicks are one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. This is the second time they've held Cleveland to under 100 points, and they haven't done that with any other team that they've played so far this season. So these are just the outliers of the game that I took away. Like, we just hit a few more threes, we win this game. Against Atlanta, we were shooting the lights out, and I'm thinking, oh, it looks like we're gonna be in for a good shooting year, and then ever since then we've just been shooting very, very terribly.
And
so that's what I left the game.
I was like, that can't be right. I was looking at the fourth quarter splits for the 3-point percentage. Cleveland shot 37.5% from three, and that's not particularly good, but it's good when the Knicks are shooting 5 for 30 for 16.7%.
Yep.
That's not good. Another thing.
And missing 10 free throws, even though they missed 11, but still.
I mean, we just need to shoot better from free throw also. Like, it's been, well, how many games now? 5, 6? Free throw, we need to have one game where we just hit all our free throws. Like, mm-hmm. This is not good, and this is not even like our bad free throw shooters, even though in this game, Mitchell Robinson did go to the free throw line 8 times.
In the clutch, too. He scored. I mean, he was sent to the free throw line like at least twice.
Right. Even with that, though, Manuel Quickly missing 2 free throws, Deuce McBride missing 1, Dante DiVincenzo missing 2 free throws, Jalen Brunson missing 1. Like, these things add up. The Knicks only shot 66% from the free throw line. That is the only uncontested, guaranteed uncontested shot in the game, is the one that you get after you get fouled and you get sent to the line. It's an easy shot. If you practice it, you're going to probably hit 9 out of 10 every time. If you just go home and try to work on your free throw, which these guys probably do every year, work on the free throws, you should be able to hit more than 7 out of 10. I used to be a bad free throw shooter. I started working on it. I can hit better than 7 out of 10. And the Knicks as a collective could not. So, yeah, I'm done with this game. Knicks lost 95 to 89, as I said. Let's move on to the next game.
First game of the midseason tournament. Knicks are facing off against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. Another game with no RJ Barrett due to the same knee soreness that he suffered against Boston. And me, Ja, and our mama love went to a Knicks watch party for this game. Mm-hmm. It was real lit in there.
Met some cool characters.
And, you know, got to watch the game at a bar with some drinks, which definitely helped watching the first quarter because the Knicks got off to a little shaky start in the opening minutes. But throughout the game, they was able to keep the score within 10 points for the majority of the night. Quentin Grimes had his best game of the season so far since RJ was sitting out. I thought he was going to step up against the Cavs at home with no RJ Barrett because now his role is going to be, you know, he's going to be asked to score a little bit more. Whenever you got to replace 20 points per game, you got to look towards guys like Quentin Grimes. So in this game in Milwaukee, he played his best game so far. He knocked down, what, like 5 threes? Outside of him, the only other guy that we can really look to for this game was Jalen Brunson because he had himself a night. He was giving Milwaukee defense hell from the beginning of this game to the end.
Yep.
He almost single-handedly kept his game close, just doing a bunch of crab dribbling into mid-range pull-ups, getting to the paint, drawing contact for tough and-one finishes, finding some good open looks for three. He was one of the only Knicks to knock down threes. He had five. Oh, no, sorry. That's Grimes who had five. But he had 2 threes out of 8 attempts. He did force a lot at the end of the game, just trying to keep it close. He knocked down 9 of 11 free throws. Finished the night with 45 points. But the Knicks were pretty much down the whole night. And they had to let Brunson put the Jansport on, put the backpack on, and carried them to a comeback. They took a lead late in the game with a Brunson three-pointer, but this was like the most short-lived lead that we've had all season because Damian Lillard came right back. Had a relatively quiet night up until this point, but he immediately answered Jalen Brunson's three with a three of his own, and it was like one of the easiest three-pointers I've ever seen someone get across, at least so far this season. Like, it was just like a regular pass, screen, Dame got the ball, wide open three. Nothing but net. Brooke Lopez was knocking down threes all night. Marjon Beauchamp was knocking down threes all night. And the Knicks were just like, on the defensive end, they were looking pretty solid for the most part, but there was just a lot of open shooters that I didn't appreciate. Seeing Giannis hit 3 for 3 from three. Almost had himself a triple-double damn near. But he had 6 assists, but he only had 22 points. Damian Lillard had like 16 points going into the fourth quarter, and it looked like this was our game to lose. But after Damian Lillard hit that three, he got another and-one layup, which pretty much closed the night out for the Knicks. So as we're watching the game, you know, we had a bar surrounded by Knicks fans, and you know people going to give you their opinion. And the consensus for the night was Julius Randle got to get up out of New York because he had himself another stinker of a night. Fast break.
Stinkers.
Fadeaways on, like, how you it's a 4-on-1 fast break. I put this clip in the YouTube for y'all. It's a fast break. They give Julius Randle the ball, and he ended up doing a post fadeaway on two people. It's just like, I don't understand how that happens. He finishes the night with five field goals made out of 20 attempts. 1 for 9 from three, 5 for 9 from the free throw line. He had 12 rebounds, but I wouldn't argue if you said all 12 of those is off his own misses because he was stinking it up. He had himself 5 assists, and I'm sure that those 5 assists came just because he couldn't do nothing else. He was getting double teamed, and he didn't want to go 5 for 30, so he just said, all right, I'll pass it. But he just played with no energy the whole night for the most part. He didn't look inspired at all, complaining, jogging back on defense. I hate when I come in with praise for Julius Randle one day and then he just stinks it up for an entire week straight. So
it seems like one of us has to get on Randle for us to see him play well.
Because
that was me last year. It's like, nah, I'm not believing what I'm, like, I don't put any credence into what's going on. He's done this before. What is he going to do in the playoffs? And then, you know, but the whole season, while I'm saying that, he's playing well. Some things that I noticed in this game, I have in my notes here. Actually, before I get into that, I just shout out some of the people we met at the ball last night. Shout out Glenn. Shout out Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Joe at another watch party. But and shout out Rel, who was the first person who I spoke to at the bar, who was absolutely killing Julius Randle and Tom Thibodeau. And I just want to make this point before I forget it. He sent me a message this morning, basically showing all the guys who've played a ton of minutes on the Knicks and what they scored. And the lowest minute getter was Emmanuel Quickley, and Emmanuel Quickley scored 14 points in 21 minutes and 50 seconds.
50% from the field, too.
50% from the field. He only shot three threes. Made all of his free throws. The only other person to make all of their free throws on this night was Josh Hart. And one person who you said earlier could not make his free throws was Julius Randle. The other person, he still had a good percentage, 81.8%, but Jalen Brunson missed two free throws on this night. And when the game started, and one of the first notes that I posted was, what is up with Jalen Brunson missing free throws? He is currently at 50%. Nope, sorry. That was for the Atlanta game.
Yeah.
For the Atlanta game. He is currently 83% from the free throw line, or at least that's his 2023 projection on Basketball Reference. Let me just double check. Nope, he's at 79%. He has not been at 79% since he was in Dallas for the 2020 to 2021 season. And he's shooting worse than that by a thousandth of a percentile. He's gotten off to a rough start as far as free throws go. So it was like, you expect him to hit 80% every night. He's had some sub 70% nights so far. That was the first thing I wanted to note. But back to what I was saying earlier about Emmanuel Quickley, he only played 21 minutes. Here are the guys that he listed. Josh Hart, 35 minutes and 59 seconds. Why is Josh Hart getting 35 minutes and 59 seconds? Because RJ Barrett's out? If RJ Barrett's out, shouldn't Emmanuel Quickley get some of those minutes?
That's what I honestly think. Quickley should have been a starter over Josh Hart.
I don't care about that.
I don't
that
think Josh Hart was the problem, as even though he can't knock down a three to save his life right now.
0 for 4 from 3.
But I like the energy that Josh Hart plays with. He finished the night with 10 rebounds. He had himself 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. Like, he plays hard, even if he's not going
to
score.
But in a game like this, you need Quickley to play more than Josh Hart. Or you need to split those minutes a little evenly so that they are both, you know, maybe you give them both 28 minutes. In the 36 minutes that Josh Hart played, he only put up 9 field goal attempts.
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that. But I'm not fine with that when you can give Emmanuel Quickley 10 more minutes, because in the 15 less minutes that he played, he had one more field goal attempt than Josh Hart. And he's shooting it at a better clip. And he's getting to the free throw line at a better clip. If you need to score more, you need to have one of your best players on the court. With RJ missing, Emmanuel Quickley is absolutely one of the best players on this team.
I say put Josh Hart at the 4 and sit Julius Randle ass on the bench.
So you want to get rid of the 39, or you want to shorten the 39 minutes that Julius Randle played with his quarter percentile from the field and his 11.1% from the three-point line and his 55.6% from the free throw line. I'm not going to argue with you.
Absolutely.
This is the only thing the reason why probably Randle is out there so much is because he's still rebounding at a great clip. The Knicks had 3 players with double-digit rebounds. I'm not sure if that's I don't know how many times I've ever seen that in an NBA game where you have 3 members of the same team have over 10 rebounds, with one of them having 15. I've definitely seen it with 2 players, but the Knicks definitely out-rebounded the Milwaukee Bucks, even though everybody is so concerned about the height advantage that other teams have on us. The height is not what's killing us. It's the poor shooting nights, 22%, 25%, 12%. These are bad numbers. So even when you have guys who are shooting 55, 56, 50%, the team as a whole is not shooting 40% because you have these guys who are shooting so terribly, and these are the guys who are getting 35 minutes, 38 minutes. Like, Dante DiVincenzo had 18 minutes, and it's not that I don't like Dante DiVincenzo, but he's putting up 8 field goals. He has one less field goal attempt than Josh Hart, which is another thing where it's like, Josh Hart is not going to put the ball up. So, and if you're one of your main scorers is putting the ball up at a huge clip and he ain't scoring, you need somebody out there who's going to score. And Josh Hart wasn't that guy last night. So I'm not mad at Josh Hart for how he played. I thought he played well despite not shooting the ball well. But when Julius doesn't have it going, you cannot afford to not play guys who can score instead of him. And then the Knicks didn't do that last night. Did we shout out Mitch? I don't believe we did. Mitchell Robinson, 15 rebounds. We are in this game partially because of Mitch.
Yeah, he just needs to score.
I mean,
finished the game with a donut.
He did. We didn't really look for him either, though. And if we're not throwing lobs, which, granted, we played against the Milwaukee Bucks, it's very hard to score on the interior against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, Brook Lopez had like 7 blocks. I couldn't believe it.
It's very hard to do that. With that being said,
8 blocks.
8 blocks. Jesus Christ. He almost had a double-double with blocks. and he shot 40% from 3. But anyway, this was a good overall game. We probably win this game if RJ Barrett was playing, which I don't know if we mentioned. He missed this game as well.
Yeah, I mentioned it.
And, you know, in spite of that, we probably win this game if Julius Randle just has an average game for Julius. And that's not what we got. So,
yeah, Randle always stinging it up against Giannis for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't even feel like it's just the shot selection, the IQ plays. Like, I gotta rewind that fast break 4-on-1 where like he's just, why are you forcing shots when you have teammates that you could just kick it out to? I don't get it. But
are you referring to in the second quarter when he forced a layup and then turned over the ball, and then the Bucks immediately scored right after that?
Nah,
like I wrote that. It was after that I had to shut the laptop off because he tried to force something up with, I don't even know why he did it. He just went into the paint, forced a layup that had no chance of going in, turned the ball over, and it's like, oh, here comes the Bucks, and they score. All right, this is not looking good.
Just you in year 10 of the NBA, you should know not to do certain things. That's the last takeaway from this game for me. Like, I'm just pissed off watching this guy play now.
We're going to switch it up. Because I can sense that both of us are itching to get into Julius Randle. So we'll do the Knicks take of the week right now.
Okay.
So my Knicks take is that we need to hold off on placing blame on Julius Randle.
Because it's so early?
I think that we should give him 10 to 15 games. I'm leaning towards 15 because 10 is right around the corner. And he's not looking like he's getting any better. But
getting worse.
10 to 15 games. I believe that he's still getting his conditioning back in line. I believe that now that they have a two-day rest, they played last night, they won't play again until Monday. So by the time you watch this, the next game that the Knicks play will have already happened.
Didn't they just come off a two-day rest, though, or am I bugging?
They played back-to-back against the Cavs. That was what, Tuesday, Wednesday, and they played Saturday. Saturday played against the New Orleans Pelicans. So they did have a 2-day rest, but then they immediately did a back to back. So I don't know if you could count that, sir. They did a back to back, 2-day rest, another back to back. This is the first time where they'll have a 2-day rest without a back to back, and this was not a back to back with the against them, that they played the Milwaukee Bucks either. So they should be, hopefully after this 2-day rest, Julius Randle will come back in the next game and he'll play very well. That's what I'm hoping. But if he doesn't, give him another few games, let him get that you know, confidence back in his game. Because in that, I don't think I said this, but he did not look, he hasn't looked confident in probably since the Boston game. And even in that game, he didn't play particularly well. But this is the first time, the last 3-4 games, he just doesn't trust himself to do anything, it doesn't seem like. He's making bad passes. He's hesitating to shoot so much that he's letting the defense get, you know, right up in his face. And he's doing the same things that he said he wasn't going to do from last season. Remember, he was saying, oh, yeah, I could take better shots. He's taking worse shots now than he was last season just because he doesn't look confident. He doesn't look confident in his shot. He doesn't look confident driving. He doesn't look confident in his dribble. And he's making terrible decisions on the open court when it comes to passing the ball. And it's hard to put, it's hard to give a player like that 35, 40 minutes when he's not doing the things he's capable of doing. But once again, I think it's post-surgery. He wasn't able to ramp up the way. He didn't have the whole summer to ramp up the way that he normally did.
He don't look as strong as he did last year either.
He looks a little slimmer.
He getting bullied.
I wouldn't say that he's getting bullied.
I think bullying.
Well, Zion,
looking like a child. Flexing on him the whole game. I'm like, yo, Randy, you got to stand up for yourself. This is looking bad.
I think Zion would have bullied him last year, too.
And nah, like, we beat Zion before. He wasn't doing all that flexing and all that.
I mean, he was also overweight. But anyway.
Still overweight.
But, yeah, I think we need to give Randall a little time to get back into that shape. I think it's the same thing like with R.J. Barrett. Hopefully it doesn't take as long as R.J. Barrett took to get back into that rhythm that he had in that game shape. But give him 10 to 15, and then if he's still looking like trash, then we'll really talk about it. Julius Randle is the only player in the NBA this season to record the following statistics this season. 80-plus points, 60-plus rebounds, 30-plus assists. I don't know if that's an accurate stat, but Knicks Muse wrote it, and usually Knicks Muse has actually correct. Stats, they don't just post BS about Knicks. A lot of people didn't like that. They were posting positive Julius Randle stats. But I saw it, I was like, okay, you know what?
I saw another stat saying that he had the best like defensive field goal percentage on the Knicks too. I'm like, ain't no way that could be true.
No, somebody's lying. Whoever posted that is probably untrustworthy.
Can't pay too much attention to these like 4-game sample size. We gotta wait till it's at least 10 to 15 games. I agree with you because he's definitely playing like he's not shooting efficiently, but there's been games where he's been doing some positive things. Like even in the bad games, he's still rebounding well and getting 4 or 5 assists a game. He just needs to take smarter shots. And if he does that and he's playing solid defense, I don't feel like we're asking for much. Knock down a few of these open threes that you've taken or passing up on, and you can have a better season. No one's going to be thinking about this first week of the season if you just pick it up and stop playing like you mad at somebody for taking your... Like, you playing the most minutes on the team still. Like, I don't understand what you're sulking and being so upset about. You still getting all the looks on offense.
He wants to win.
But you can contribute to winning if you just play better. Like,
or play less.
I wasn't going to say it.
Julius Randle is the first player in NBA history to average more than 15 field goal attempts per game over the first 5 games of a season and shoot below 30% from the field, below 30% from the three-point territory, and below 65% from the free throw line. that Tommy Beer wrote that on Twitter, to which the Knicks muse, after this last game, piggybacked and said, Julius Randle is the first player in NBA history to average more than 12 field goal attempts per game over the first six games of a season and shoot below 30% from the field, 30% from three-point line, and below 65% from free throw. This is probably going to keep going until Julius Randle has a really good game.
Shout out to the people that find these stats, because I'd be thinking, like, it's got to be one of the worst seasons in NBA history the way he's shooting, because he looks like shit. He looks terrible out there. He's not making nothing. Like, anytime he shoots a three-pointer, no one on earth has confidence that it's going in. He don't even believe it's going in. So when it does go in, it's like, all right, bet we could win this game if he hits a little more of those. But then he comes back to reality. But, yeah, enough for this Knicks topic of the week, because there ain't nothing else to say about Randall. I feel like we kicked his back in enough.
Nah, I want to kick his back in one more time. I want to give him
a
little toe
tap. If he show up on Monday and play like that again, next week, we really going to... I'm on his ass next week if he don't step up.
No, he could be on his ass a little bit. He's already played like trash. Tom Thibodeau, per Stephen Bondi, turns animated after peppered with questions about Julius Randle. If you're open, this is the quote, if you're open, you shoot. If there's three guys on you, you hit the open man. It's simple. It's not hard.
Tib said that.
Per Stephen Bondi.
He fed up.
It's not hard. I agree. It's not hard. You open, shoot it. And it don't matter if you went 0-for-8. Shoot the open three-point shot. And then once you start making it, the defense will respond accordingly, and then your offense will get better. Julius Randle, Josh Hart, I don't know if anybody else has been guilty of this, but those are the main two that I could think about. When they get the ball, they've been open, and they'll pump fake for no reason, and then nobody's scared of them shooting the three, so they don't fall for the fake, and the Knicks end up with a missed field goal 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So, good on Tibbs, but play Emmanuel quickly more. All right. This week's games, excuse me. We already talked about the first one.
Two home games coming up.
Yes.
Finally. Get to stay home for a little bit.
The Los Angeles Clippers, Monday, November 6th at 7:30 p.m. In the Madison Square Garden. This is the debut of James Harden as a Clipper. Those of you who are not on NBA news, James Harden was traded from the Philadelphia 76ers to the Los Angeles Clippers for
Marcus Morris, some draft picks.
Yes.
PJ Tucker.
We don't need to get into particulars because this is a Knicks podcast, but it is notable that James Harden will be playing as a part of that loaded lineup featuring Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
And it's notable that no star went to the Sixers.
I think
so. Embiid might be.
I think that the Sixers are confident in Tyrese Maxey. He was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, I believe, last week.
Yeah. First week of the season.
They said, oh, we've got our point guard. What do we need James Harden for? And like I said last week, when Embiid plays a significant amount of the season, the Philadelphia 76ers are a 50-plus win team. Does that mean that's what's going to happen this year? Only time will tell, but I think that the Sixers are resting on their laurels because of that. My number one question, will R.J. Barrett be back for this game? I'm hoping and praying on a star that we do get R.J. We get star J. Barrett. Knicks need this one. They've had 2 days to rest. Clippers are super rested. They haven't played since Wednesday. But I feel like that could work against them. You know, sometimes when these old legs, they haven't been working out. I've been playing the basketball game, you know, for that long. They come out a little rusty. So hopefully that's what happens. But if that doesn't happen and Kawhi starts going off and we either don't have RJ or Julius Randle ain't playing very well, my prediction that the Knicks will win, which is my take, the Knicks will take this one, that could prove to be faulty.
Nick Batum isn't playing. He's on Sixers now. He was the reason we lost that game in the Garden. So I gotta hope for the best, but I genuinely believe the Clippers are gonna win this game. James Harden, first game as a Clipper, he got a lot to prove. He was talking a lot of, what should I say? He was talking a lot, basically, just about the Sixers holding him back.
Chatting a lot.
Yeah, he was chatting. So I feel like he's definitely got a chip on his shoulder now that he's in L.A. He's from California. First game, you got to make you gotta set the tone. Let your teammates know what type of time you on. Let the NBA know that the Clippers are to be reckoned with. They're in Madison Square Garden. We know how that goes for any star players that come to the Garden. They always want to show out. So I think this is going to be like a battle, but I see the Clippers taking this one.
So you think that the Knicks are going to be 2-5?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, after that, we have another game. The last game before we record again. And what do you think about that game?
San Antonio Spurs are going to come into MSG Wednesday, November 8th. This is a nationally televised game, ESPN. And we're going to get our first look at Victor Wembanyama, who was the first pick in the last draft.
Mm-hmm. Looking good, too.
I call him Slim Banyama because he dressed up as Slender Man on Halloween. I feel like it was a good fit for him because he's like 7'4".
He's like a...
skinny as hell.
Like a real Slender Man.
Yeah, he looks just like Slender Man.
Live action.
But this is going to be his first game in the Garden. This is going to be hurtful to watch. We're going to be in the building for this game because we wanted Devin Vassell on draft night a few years ago. He's in San Antonio. After decades of the Knicks playing like trash, we never got a prospect as good as Wembanyama. And Spurs tanked twice in the last few decades, and they get Tim Duncan, and now they get Vic Wembanyama. So this is going to be a tough game to watch. I predict the Knicks are also going to lose this game as well.
0-2. That's your prediction, huh?
2-6.
And it's crazy because now I could say that they're going to just lose one of these games, and I'll probably be right. But I'm going to jump out the window, and I'm going to say that they're going to win both of these games. I think that the Clippers haven't shown that they are one of the top teams in the West, and the Spurs haven't shown that they're one of the top teams in the West, even though they currently are 3-2 on the season.
And they just beat the Suns.
They did just beat the Suns.
With KD and Devin Booker. They beat them both games that they played the Suns.
I do think that the Spurs game is the harder game of the two, even though the Clippers do have some pretty good talent, probably more talent than the Spurs.
Porzingis bust our ass the first game of the season, too. Yeah. So I feel like we're going to be struggling with these tall guys who could really shoot. Brooke Lopez shot the lights out against us just now.
I am encouraged by what I've seen from Mitch. I think once Wembanyama takes that first three, Mitch will be on the ball. I think he's definitely going to rebound the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really going to come down to Mitch. Mitch has been playing very well this season. And if he plays well in this game against the Spurs, against Wembanyama, I don't think he's going to stop him. Maybe he'll slow him down. But I think he'll do what he needs to do. And what it's really going to come down to is Jalen Brunson, RJ Barrett, if he plays, Julius Randle, if he plays well, Emmanuel Quickley. If all of these other guys have the games that they can have and Mitchell Robinson does what he can, Wembanyama is frail. He's not a strong guy. Mitch can handle him. I think that some of the three-point thing is probably going to be an issue. The driving thing is probably going to be an issue. But if Mitch can... he maybe not neutralize those things, but he can adjust accordingly. That's all Wembanyama's got. He's not going to do anything at the rim.
I don't know about that.
I don't think he's going to do anything. I don't think he's going to do anything crazy at the rim. Let me just say that.
Throw up some hook shots.
That
ain't getting blocked.
Don't throw Mitch any lobs. And you should be fine. You should be fine with that. So I'm going to say the Knicks are going to go 2-0. Very good chance that neither one of us win this week if the Knicks win one of these games, but that's what I got. All right, y'all. We are, I think we're good. We're good for now. Anything you want to discuss, French?
No, we could hold it off till next week once we get a low. You see, we got some new merch.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a store open up soon, but we ain't ready to, you know, talk about that yet. We're going to stock it up first, and then we're going to come back to y'all with the link and all that. So just keep locking in with us, and you'll be able to get some merch soon.
Yeah. If you like what you see, let us know. Hit us up on the Instagram. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on any other social media. That store will probably be on the KnicksTake.com. Mm-hmm. So make sure you check us out there. That'll keep refreshing the page. And if you want to be one of the first people to buy our merchandise.
For sure.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Caesar.
Appreciate
you. Thank you to the whole Hudson Valley podcasting team. Thank you for all of you guys for listening, for watching. Once again, make sure that you like, subscribe, share,
notification bell,
5-star rating on iTunes. Make sure you comment anywhere that you can comment. That if you have any suggestions for us, anything that you would like us to do more of, let us know. Let us know in the comments on YouTube. And we appreciate you.
I'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace.
Peace.
The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do?